Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Roll up to the Ramble, fans of penalty shootouts, and tell us how well you did at your interview for the Everton job. It's Thursday, the 27th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
We're going to come on to the Everton job thing in a minute, obviously, but it smacks to me that sort of like talking about how well you did or how well you didn't do. It's a little bit like those people who would talk through every single answer they made to a question in an exam after you finished the exam at school, no?
Yeah, it's a little bit like, what's that episode of Black Mirror where they've all got that chip behind their ears where you can re-see everything you did?
Yeah, replay your memories.
And they sit and watch the guy's job interview?
Yes.
At the beginning?
That's not an episode I've seen, but it sounds amazing. I have seen episodes of Black Mirror before you even start.
you didn't realise the wire was in Baltimore. I mean, I don't mean to reveal that in front of the Ramblers, but I was disappointed. I was disappointed, mate.
The thing about the wire is it's got loads of episodes, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, and I fear
I think
commitment is what I was going to say, but that's not. Maybe I do. Anyway, yeah. I
think that's how it's listed on Wikipedia. Show with lots of episodes.
Yeah. That's what it's notable for.
I get stressed about getting too involved in something that takes up so many episodes.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
There are lots of actors in it as well. Oh. So if you enjoy actors, you might also enjoy what they do in those episodes.
What do you think? More actors is better, Jim?
Well, just a number of actors can also improve episodes, can't it? If this is the level we're talking about as to what you might tempt you to watch something.
This is very weird, a stand-up comedian promoting a production that's got more than one person in it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is poor marketing, Jim.
Actually, in a sense, this is an excellent segue into last night's AFCON because more, in a sense, if you have two penalty shootouts, it's almost like you have more actors in the game,
yes,
right? And in the first one, we're going to talk about Egypt 0, Ivory Coast 0. 9 out of 10 spoke their lines. Yeah. Eric Bailly.
Fluffed his, didn't he?
After being...
It was a complicated line, but he overcomplicated it.
Yes, he should have just delivered it straight, I think.
Trying to do too much.
And after playing really pretty brilliantly, I thought, in the rest of the game.
He really stood out, didn't he?
It's the manner. It's always the manner in the penalty shootout of how you miss a penalty, isn't it?
Oh.
Because actually, he was a coat of paint away from it going in.
Yeah.
Well, that's it exactly. Yeah, if someone stay still or doesn't dive, you should be fine.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if it had that even been a more conventional penalty and had the keeper just got to it, you wouldn't think, oh, why is he trying that? But it is a kind of slightly flamboyant nature of something like that.
Combination of that and him being a defender.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're a defender, just welly it.
Just deliver it. Yeah, exactly.
The Athletic reacted to it by doing one of those, like, have a chat about the worst ever penalty you've seen, which I thought was actually quite harsh.
That's really harsh.
Been in the chamber for a while, though, isn't it? Surely.
Oh,
do you know
I
what
see.
I mean? They're like, right, get it out. Surely.
Because I can think of about a billion penalties that are.
Yeah.
That's an exaggeration.
That.
But, you know, some of the ones in the Euros final, pretty much all the penalties people tried to take, even the ones that went in Tottenham's lost shootout against Norwich in the cup.
It turns out penalties are in the eye of the beholder.
Do you think
it's
so?
Like, it's like that Brian Talbot thing I was talking about a while back, you know, when he was manager of West Brom, and they missed two penalties in a league game against Swindon, and he had given players instructions on hitting the ball well when taking a penalty.
Huh.
So player who got it on target and had it saved was fined. Guy who smashed it like loads over the top was all right. He didn't get fined. He just got, oh, we'll do better next time.
Wait, no, that's mad.
Wow.
Surely the stupidest thing you can ever do is to
miss the target.
Happens, so, at least getting it on target, even if it dribbles into the hands of the goalkeeper.
It was a point he was making about following managerial instructions, I guess.
Bloody hell.
But yeah, ridiculous.
God, how annoying.
Mm. The game actually was pretty good.
Yeah,
despite
plenty of chances.
Nil-nil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also the Cote d'Ivoire goalkeeper, Badre Ali Sangare, who had a major cock up in the Sierra Leone draw. And also lost his dad that night. Mm. So I thought he played really well. And lots of chances made for Mohamed Salah making lots of chances. But even still, it was very evenly matched. Felt like.
Egypt have been pretty cautious throughout the tournament. But I mean, it's
a real shock when you see who's in charge.
Yeah, right. Carlos loving it. But it's the old cliche of growing into a tournament, isn't it? And they are clearly doing that.
Yeah.
So I think surely at some point, or maybe they won't. Maybe they won't sort of wake up and become sort of free flowing. It's something we always want to see happen that doesn't necessarily actually happen, particularly in tournaments, isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, my theory of it is the way to win tournaments, which Italy at least partly debunked last summer in Euro 2020. That idea of it saves energy and it's easier to defend on block and then try and pick the little bits out. So it has tended to be the way to win international tournaments if you go back through recent World Cups and Euros, apart from last summer's. But I don't know if that quite holds if it's mid-season. I mean, players aren't more knackered mid-season than they are at the end of a season. But yeah, then again, I probably think that's the Carlos Queiroz effect. I mean, very unlike him to defend for his life and let a star player do it all. Never seen that before.
Well, if it all works out, we'll be calling him a genius. Sadly, the last we'll see of Ivory Coast boss Patrice Bimel, who's twice won AFCON as Harvey Renard's assistant and seemed to be paying a bit of homage to the Renard.
Yeah.
With his shirt choice.
It's like they've It is like they've just found them down a sort of handsome dad mine, isn't it? Like, it's just where they keep finding these beautiful men.
And why do they always turn up with too few buttons on their shirts?
Yeah. I don't know, actually. In the running order, I'm not sure who it is who's put it in inverted commas, but a divorced hot dad shirt is what it's been called back, don't it? It's it, but the buttons, the chest out thing, brass.
Well, look, whatever your views on that, it's better than Sven in an Ivory Coast tracksuit.
Yes.
Which is a sight that will be burned onto my retinas forever. Him in that orange tracksuit.
I think it's just, I think the essence of it is that the buttons are one thing, but yeah, it's a very slim fit, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's to show that the dad is in good shape, actually.
He's not letting the divorce get to him. Because I thought a dad bod is not that, is it?
No, a dad bod is just like, this man is comfortable cuddly with his bod. Yeah, exactly.
Cuddly.
Nice. Yeah. Or on the way to cuddly.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah. I'm glad. I'm sad. No, I'm sad actually. Speller's not in here for him to rebut your claims about Sven. But anyway, the other game that also finished 0-0, but ultimately Equatorial Guinea go through on penalties. Another upset delivered by Equatorial Guinea. 6-5 in the shootout. 20-year-old goalkeeper Jesus Owono was the hero with two saves in this one. Some less attractive penalties, but ultimately, that's a good news story, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, penalty shootout tears inevitably happen, especially at this stage in a competition. But I did not enjoy that at the end, obviously, because I felt a little bit sorry for Mali as well. Mm. But they were the bitter tears of regret having not taken those chances earlier on. I'm not into bitter tears of regret.
In, you don't think people think regrets shouldn't happen, or you think
no, no, I just don't. I don't enjoy seeing it.
Oh, right. Aww. I thought you were being really stoic then. Like, I have no time for emotion.
Bite your lip.
And stiffen it.
Emotional, yeah, like penalty shootout things are very much part of my AFCON experience. I just remember, you know, when Gabon and Equatorial Guinea were hosting together and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And it is a real shame not to see him in this tournament. I know people are like snickering about his timekeeping and all that other stuff at the moment, and overlooking the fact that he's been a player that we've all enjoyed watching for the last decade. One of the AFCON moments is when at home with the president and his wife wearing their Aubameyang shirts, he missed the penalty in the quarterfinal shootout, burst into tears, and his dad came on the pitch and gave him a cuddle. That was, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, 61 places higher, Mali, than Equatorial Guinea. So it is a big achievement.
Yeah, it's huge.
And 14 shots they had, Mali, to Equatorial Guinea's 9, but sadly only one each on target in the 120 minutes. Hoping for a bit more of that, and a bit less of that, sorry, in the next round. The final quarterfinal lineup is as follows: Cameroon versus the Gambia, Burkina Faso versus Tunisia, Egypt against Morocco, and Senegal versus Equatorial Guinea. I mean, apart from the hosts, you would think, what, Egypt the favourites at this point now?
Yeah, possibly. I think Senegal are a funny one as well. They've not really woken up yet. They needed to you know, have a two-man advantage.
God, they made hard work of that.
They've made hard work of absolutely everything. They've been awful to watch, but you think surely at some point they'll be better. So this is a good opportunity for them to wake up as well. But yeah, I think Cameroon and Egypt are surely the ones to expect to go all the way now.
I really want Morocco to win that against Egypt. The dullness of Egypt. It is Carlos Queiroz. I'm not going to lie. It's just too many memories of some dull Portugal sides, and Morocco have been super fun so far.
Yeah, all right. One to look out for. Now, I'm afraid, Everton fans, we need to get to Everton.
I swear one day, Everton fans, you'll be able to look forward to this.
Yeah. Where to start with the extraordinary adventures of Vitor Pereira? When we wrote this originally, he is the front runner for the Everton job. And he'd certainly been to some interviews with the board.
With the board.
Yeah. But he obviously was just on a roll. You know what they say about that? You know, if you've got to do some job interviews, you probably warm up into it, maybe get a few lined up in a week. And perhaps that was the approach he took when he thought, I'm getting good at this. I should do some more interviews, including on Sky Sports News.
Like when Oscar season comes around and actors start doing the rounds in the press, trying to sort of like...
Whole junket.
Get in. Yeah, exactly. He's just doing a little press tour, isn't he?
See, I took it as if, like, you know when you get off at Gatwick or Luton and they have those little vending machines saying, buy your UK SIM card here. I don't know if he thought, well, it's pay as you go. I've got like, you know, 120 more minutes.
Yeah.
Might
yeah.
as well get stuck in.
Might as well use them.
So if you haven't seen this, this is Pereira, yeah, just hopped on the phone to Sports News to talk about how he'd gone in his interview.
Yeah, how the interview went. Very unconventional.
And how he was upset. I mean, so the idea...
It was good TV.
is this going to set the precedent? I'm all for it.
Because the idea was that people had been already... they'd been pre-protesting about the idea of him being the manager of Everton, mm-hmm. partly because it feels as though at least two occasions in the past he hasn't been considered to be the man good enough, quote unquote, for Everton, and then now suddenly he is.
Yeah, well, at least they don't nearly know where he lives, eh?
So posters, graffiti includes Pereira out, Lampard in. What do we make of that? Is that a good instruction?
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It is a bit weird. Depends who wrote the graffiti as well. If it's Mashiri, you think, come on.
He's playing all the levels there, isn't he?
Yeah.
The thing is, it looks like the act of one lone wolf.
Yeah, well, this
it?
Is the problem, isn't it? You don't want to tar every Everton fan with that bucket of paint, essentially. Mm. So that is, again, we mentioned this recently, that must be what one of the most frustrating aspects of all this kind of this circus is, really, for sensible fans who just want to get on with enjoying their club. But, I mean, obviously there was a bit of unrest before Benitez came in, to say the least. Yeah. And you would expect that to a degree, but I don't think I've ever seen this before to this degree. I mean, there were people seemed angry about Gattuso and even Nuno coming to Spurs,
yeah,
but like graffiti and stuff already because the guy's a bit underwhelming. It's
not really about him.
It's about the board, isn't
it? And like it wasn't. Obviously, it was a bit about Benitez because of the Liverpool stuff, but it wasn't that much about Benitez as well, certainly not for all Everton fans.
Yeah.
I think the idea of some, as in some areas of like portraying like Everton fans as really hot-tempered and unreasonable, I don't think is very fair.
No.
It's just a sense of the club as is rudderless, has no direction, there's no plan for the future. So it's not really about Vitor Pereira. But surely after this, you would say at most clubs that they can't appoint him after he's gone and done this.
The interview.
But yeah, after the Sky interview. But it's Everton.
Jesus, so, you think that he might still?
Well, we can't rule it out, is my point.
Because it wasn't just Sky, he also talked to the Mail as well. Like, he's really been doing a full gamut.
I think the issue is...
Definitely the 120 minutes thing.
The issue is Mashiri and Usmanov, wasn't it? They need to get someone in who actually knows how to run a football club rather than is just having a go at it, essentially.
It's the combination of the incompetence and the not giving the tiniest shit about what the fans think.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue, isn't it? Rather than any, you know, the names, whether it be Pereira, Lampard or anyone, it's not really that relevant, I don't think.
Well, I mean, it signifies what the problem is.
It's that and the lack of purpose, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly right. But, well, he has got some purpose though, Mashiri, because he's just increased his stake in Everton to 94%.
I'm sure they'll be delighted to hear that.
So he's showing he's got commitment to the cause that he fully understands. Come on,
it's
right.
Horrible.
Right in, bite someone.
I think that part of the issue as well is, I think it's very difficult for Everton to actually exist as they kind of see themselves where their ambitions would be fulfilled in the sort of current ecosystem of the Premier League. Because there are just too many bigger teams in front of them now. I mean, there was a banner at a game a little while ago, and again, I want to caveat this by saying, of course, we know that not every Everton fan expects this, but there was a banner at the game that said the fans expect the best. So like that pressure goes through to the board, clearly, doesn't it? That adds to the sort of situation.
But it
and that's really, really over the top.
It depends on how you define the best.
Yeah.
The best doesn't necessarily mean...
It means having a plan.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't know, surely the best is fairly definitive,
it? Means
it?
The best that we can do.
Right.
I think, you know...
What
we've got.
Okay.
I think that's what it means. I don't think it means challenging for the Premier League or getting in the Champions League or any of that stuff.
Well, I don't see why not. I don't see why not. I'm sure Everton fans would say,
Europe at least, right? I just feel like perhaps the components they need to achieve what they want are just a little bit out of their reach, purely because there are too many teams around them competing with that. If you look at the traditional top six and then you throw Leicester in there as well, it's like the Premier League is bloated with those high profile teams.
But that's the nature of that is, competition, a lot of that, isn't it?
It is, but it's never been like this before, really. Chelsea and Man City are not a new phenomenon, but the league has never had teams like that in there as well. Like there are six teams now that everyone else is aiming at.
Yeah.
And that's pretty unique. And I think Everton unfortunately find themselves in a position where it's very difficult for them to get in players that won't want to go elsewhere ahead of them.
But the counter argument to this is obviously how do you build a football club well? And I'm sure fans would say of Everton, they would say, well, look, what people need and what people want is like we've talked about before, a good billionaire owner. And like you see at Leicester, for example, and Mashiri, you know, in terms of having the resource, there's no reason why, if he was able to delegate, if he was able to work within structures and et cetera, why he wouldn't be able to turn Everton, with the weight of the history that they have, into a high achieving club. They've been there.
Yeah, and it's a good reminder, I suppose, with the stage that, say, Newcastle are at the moment. Get a director of football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't hang about.
This is what they need.
And give them power.
The squad is a result of a lot of failed experiments, isn't it? They need to get Marie Kondo in there, get rid of anything that doesn't spark joy. And you feel like they probably need to just like, do they need to rip it up and start again? Or do they need to just make the best of what they've got? It feels like every idea has been exhausted.
Well, let's hope that Farhad hasn't been following the story from last week in Portugal, where fourth tier side Vitória Sanache have been... They're doing great. They've been on a six-game unbeaten run, their best run of the season. But President António Joaquim dismissed the coach and hired who better than himself as manager in the middle of last week?
Have we found Portuguese Glenn Tamplin? This is exciting.
I mean, he says on local radio, so again, further resonance here perhaps, he says, after a lot of insistence, we have António Joaquim taking charge of the
Love
team.
Love that.
He's third-personing himself, explaining that the choice was made because he was the person who best knows the squad.
I love that idea of like giving a statement where you describe it as if it's some sort of out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Also, by the same logic, you could, you know, make the kit man the coach. I know who everyone is, so I might as well be the manager.
Well, we've all watched Ted Lasso by now, haven't we?
In fairness, they did draw 1-1 with third place Marin Hentzi on Sunday. So, you know. We'll be following their fortunes, though.
Will we?
I think yes. I think we really bloody should follow their fortunes. And I look forward to it.
I mean, you watch a lot of fourth-tier Portuguese football anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
I
think this can't have come as a surprise to you.
Well, when I was fiddling about with my phone at the start and Kate was complaining that I wasn't paying attention, what do you think I was doing?
Just checking out their fortunes.
Yep.
All right. Well, feel free to contribute something useful to the podcast then, Brass.
They're playing now. I'm still watching it.
Lovely stuff. All right, we'll catch a bit more of that while we get to the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death as we decide which film does it better. And for the whole of January and February, we're taking film suggestions from you, our listeners.
But he said to me, I was putting on, and because we've done the social network, and he's like, why are you doing all these good films? And I said, oh, well, you know. And then I had to admit that other people pick them, not us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Join me, Alex Zane, with Chris Tilley and Vicky Crompton every Monday and Thursday. Search Clash of the Titles wherever you get your pods.
Ollie, I know it's half-time in the tie, but that's an incredible advantage. Do you feel like the job is done?
No, don't feel like the job is done, but it was a good job done.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble.
I love that so much.
With me, Jim, and Andy Bressel in your ears. Ooh, little new pronunciation there of Bressel for you. Bring back Ole, I say. Now it's time to get to your emails.
I call on all your ramblers. If you want to send something in, email show at footballramble.com with any idea.
Alex Christian there, the short version.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is, I don't know if it's because Pete lives in my head. I thought that was Pete. But well done, Alex. Not meaning to take away from your musical excellence there. An email from Simon. Having heard the discussion between Andy, Vish and Marcus on whether or not you should tempt yourself by going to a place that is showing an important game on a first date, I'd like to share my story. In 2006, I was on a first date and having something to eat. We went to a fairly generic bar. The date was 25th of June and the knockout stages of the 2006 World Cup had just started. Okay. And so I draw your attention to the Portugal versus Netherlands last 16 tie, which was to become known as the Battle of Nuremberg. Yes. It was showing on a massive TV just over my date's left shoulder. 16 yellows and 4 reds meant I was understandably constantly distracted. For some reason, she thought I wasn't interested in her, a notion I dispelled later that night. Oh,
16.
Oh, please.
No,
16
let's
years
go
later.
Full TFI Friday.
16 years later.
Oh.
We're still together, married with 2 young lads, so no harm done.
Oh.
See?
That's nice.
Manish made it happen.
That's lovely to hear from you, Simon. I think fair enough.
Yeah, and also lovely to hear about Manish. I don't think about Manish that often.
Right.
You know, he's a sommelier now.
Of course he is. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Jack has been in touch. He says, am I a footballing curse?
Oh.
Let's figure it out for you, Jack. I got into football at the 2002 World Cup and chose to follow my dad's team and my hometown club, Leeds United. Within 2 minutes of my first match, we were 1-0 down against Big Sam's Bolton, finished 4-2 to the Big Slug, and having missed the European dream within 5 years of supporting them, we were bottom of League One with minus 15 points. Oof. Fast forward 10 years to 2017, and I graduate my journalism degree and start working in local radio in Bradford, just after City's push for promotion to the Championship. Alas, they failed and are now painfully mid-table in League Two. Hmm. In March 2018, I left my Yorkshire homeland to work in Derby.
Oh,
within a couple of months, my beloved Leeds United sack Paul Heckingbottom, and the Bielsa love affair begins with me safely over 60 miles away. Upon arriving in Derby, their automatic promotion push falls apart, and they're beaten in the playoff semi-finals before manager sagas Rowett, Lampard, etc., and all the trouble that has followed. I did 6 weeks at Leicester, starting the day after they won the FA Cup. They've been shit ever since. Worked in Nottingham while they were crap. As soon as I left, they got rid of Hughton and Steve Cooper's team led them up the table. I moved to work in Hull in November. They've had a takeover saga, beaten two of the top three, then promptly sacked their manager. Tell me I'm not the reason. I've never lived or worked in Newcastle, but my best friend and sister have, so that's why they're fucked too. So, yeah, I don't believe in that sort of stuff, Jack, but at the same time, never come to North London.
Yeah, I don't believe in that either, Jack, but I'm a bit worried about Wimbledon not scoring any goals at the moment. So if you wouldn't mind a couple of months in Fleetwood.
Yeah. I mean, can anyone beat that? It's quite a comprehensive list of curse giving. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah.
Becursing.
Becursing. Why not? Perhaps. Although, as Brass points out, you could actually hire yourself out as a bringer of football curse.
Yeah.
Opposition side.
A freelance hellraiser.
Yeah. So if it doesn't work out with a journalism degree.
He can go to Spurs with you. Is that what you're saying?
He can. Well, we can debate that. And I think, you know, people would bid, right? It could be a right old money spinner. Get in touch with us at the show at footballramble.com or tweet us. Now, it is still time for the January transfer window to be discussed. And there is a saga where Brass is going to raise a bit of player welfare generally. But for the rest of us, it's just baffling, the situation with Aaron Ramsey at Juventus. They're trying to just hustle him out. It's extraordinary to think how little he's been able to contribute to that Juventus side. Six goals and six assists in almost 3 years in Italy. And if we remember when he left, there was kind of a sense, left London, I mean, there was a kind of a sense of enthusiasm about the idea of him getting the chance to go and hopefully
do his thing.
Be the great player that we know that we've seen playing for Wales.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been playing, you know, very successfully for Wales recently as well. I mean, he has certainly had injury problems while he's been in Turin, but that's not all of it. One of the things that I read recently that I found really shocking about this was that Andrea Pirlo said he was really surprised by Aaron Ramsey and like what a good player he was. It's like, are you mad? Mm. Like, have you not done your due diligence on your own squad? Like, I just feel like he's genuinely been undervalued there as well.
But in comparison to like what else they've got in the squad and the sort of players they've been able to buy, I think that was slightly misquoted because Pirlo loved him. Which I think is really important now when you look at how little he's valued. I think the fact that he's gone from a coach that really valued him, even if Pirlo had his difficulties, to one who feels he just doesn't fit at all is a bit of a shame. And I think he's a victim of a couple of things. Firstly, the fact that they have a lot of very slow midfielders. And so there's a lack of variety in there.
Yeah.
They signed, and the second bit is they signed a lot of players on free transfers, and Adrian Rabiot is one, and we go back to Pirlo and think, oh, aren't they masters in the transfer market? They've lumbered themselves with loads of horrendously big contracts.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Aaron
did
Ramsey
seem at the time
that they
were getting it for a steal, didn't that? That was how it was reported. But that's how the perspective on it, wasn't it?
But don't you remember also at the time thinking with Aaron Ramsey, they're paying him how much?
Yeah. Well, we're seeing this happen a lot now, aren't we? Players just leaving at the end of their contracts and then becoming difficult to shift because they're on big wages because they didn't command a transfer fee.
But you would think, hopefully, the pandemic does something about this, because the way that players are being treated, I know people will say, well, they're getting paid a lot and they need to go in with their eyes open, etc., etc. But for a long time now, and this goes back to when Inter decided they'd had enough of paying Wesley Sneijder his big whack and they didn't want to pay it anymore. The methods in which big clubs are using to try and force players out, we've seen this with the Ousmane Dembele thing, with Xavi going, you either have to sign a new contract or leave now, leave this month. That's not how it works.
Trying to bully someone out.
But I think it happens a lot, even to big players. I think you look at Gareth Bale at Real Madrid.
Oh my God, great example.
I think these are contracts where the minute they've been signed, pretty much, like, they've sort of gone, the clubs have gone, what have we done here?
And some ethical thing about it, that's one ethical part, but also it's clear that they're briefing against these players as well.
Yeah,
you remember
how
unpleasant it turned in the Real Madrid situation. But I suppose the question is, so you're saying that they are rebounding the kind of cock-up on their player, despite the fact that they were responsible for making the bad decision in the first place.
Yeah, what you were saying there about trying to brief against that player, and Bale versus Real Madrid is the example of that. I just think, how is that a way to get rid of a player? It's like, this guy's really lazy and unprofessional.
Yeah.
Would you like to sign him?
Yeah. You see it all the time, though.
As well as it being untrue, it's just, you know, this just panic to try and get these players out the door. And, you know, I don't want to go back to the Super League and stuff. These are the people who are trying to shape the future of football. We just don't have a clue how to manage finance at all. It's extraordinary.
One of the things that we always enjoy in the Ramble is that, you know, in many ways, football's not really a professional industry.
No, it's an absolute circus. And that's what's enjoyable about it in so many ways. But then, you know, when you kind of, you know, get below the surface a bit to the people involved, obviously sometimes it comes back to bite them or simply bites them in the first place, rather.
But it is sad when you've just got this cool player you want to play.
Yeah, just so many, like Dembele and Ramsey, just two players who could be lighting it up anywhere. Bale, for so much of his career as well. Obviously, that's a bit of a strange situation. But yeah, so, I mean, the teams Ramsey's been linked with are Crystal Palace, Newcastle and Burnley. And he's being made out to be difficult, essentially, isn't he? So he just won't sign for them. I think maybe he's waiting out for some different offers, you know? But I think...
Yeah, no disrespect that I'm about to make to those teams, but...
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, the thing obviously is, Palace are having a good season, but he's not going to want to join a relegation battle with Newcastle or Burnley, is he? And he's probably just holding out for a team he thinks is a better fit.
It might not be, exactly. And it might not be suitable to his life, his family situation. Mm. We don't know any of that. And to be honest, I think a lot of people don't care about that.
No.
But
absolutely.
It's fine for him to care about that.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, exactly. And one way maybe he should brief his agent to try and move things on is how Ousmane Dembele's agent has been creatively adapting reality to fit his needs. He was filmed by Spanish TV leaving the airport with his phone in his hand.
Sorry, not just Spanish TV. El Chiringuito. El Chiringuito? It's the beach bar, isn't it?
Of course it is.
It's the best show on TV and I don't even speak the language it's in.
You don't need to, do
you? I don't think it matters.
Because it's all about atmosphere. So basically what happens is he's leaving, whatever, and he's got his phone. Normally when you talk on your phone, it's facing, kind of, it's up against your face. But not this time. It was with the word Leonardo PSG as the caller ID.
It's clearly
visible.
It is staged, and I think you have to applaud him for that. I think there's probably an amount of effort that's gone into it. It's like at Christmas... when we got downstairs and we were opening presents on Christmas Day, I can say this because my children don't listen to the Ramble.
What?
But
this is a disgrace.
We got downstairs and we'd forgot to label two of the presents that were from Santa. We'd forgot which to label them so the children wouldn't know which one was which. So basically, while they were opening the other presents, I took my wife's phone, changed her name in my phone to Santa, changed her WhatsApp profile picture to a picture of Santa, and sent myself a WhatsApp going, oh, by the way, that big one's for child one and the other one's for child two. And I went to kids, look, I've just got I've got a WhatsApp from Santa, and that one's for you and that one's for you. And they're like, have you got Santa's number? And I was like, yeah, when you become a parent, you get Santa's number.
Are you saying that you gave this idea to Ousmane Dembele's agent?
Well, look, draw your own conclusions.
Are you still in touch with Santa?
What do you want for next year? I'll put in a word for you.
More direct methods include Ralph Rangnick again providing the goods. A Manchester United fan asked him on TikTok what will happen to Jesse Lingard. Rangnick just said he'll leave as a free agent at the end of the season.
Doesn't care, does he? It's
Why brilliant. Can people not just be more straightforward? Be more Rangnick.
I mean, it's not a huge reveal, is it?
Not really.
No.
If he'd have said, we're going to charge Newcastle like 12 million to have him for like 17 games, that would have been a better one, I think.
It is, and then fun, gone, isn't
ha, 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 ha.
Turned around, stroking a cat. That's what we need. That's actually how I picture Accrington's chairman, who we're coming on to before we get out of here.
Lovely Andy Holt, stroking a cat.
Well, yes. I don't
you
know,
don't
actually.
Have to stroke a cat in an evil way.
No. Well, that was the image I was trying to give. Yeah. I also think that's
not trying to clean your image, Jim.
I'm not sure that Andy Holt would. That suggests like someone who's reacting very calmly and sort
Machiavellian.
Of evilly, which doesn't seem like this is what he's been up to. He took to Twitter. To call Ipswich, so he's the chairman, of Accrington Stanley. He took to Twitter to call Ipswich's captain Sam Woolsey a shit house, following his side 2-1 defeat to Ipswich. Okay, we've all called people shit houses. Sadly, we're not the chairman of a football club, and he presumably realised or was subsequently told that he couldn't, as the chairman, call opposition players a shithouse. Although, you know, Peterborough Darren Minogue calls his own players cowards. So maybe that is just how it's done. He then said, but the best bit is the apology. He said, I didn't want to own a football club and I'm used to saying things as I see them. I hope I don't do it again, but I cannot make any promises. That's how I roll.
Like, I love it. That's how I roll. Like a T4 presenter from the Northeast. Where's that come from? I thought that phrase had gone.
That's how I roll.
He is a really good Twitter follower. he really is.
Well, he says he's left now.
He'll be back. He's really open and honest about the runnings of a League One football club. It's fascinating. Really interesting.
He took over in 2015, didn't he, when they were on the verge of folding, sort of very reluctantly.
So he means it when he said he really didn't want to own a football club.
Yeah.
So we're pro Holt here.
Oh yeah.
He should be able to call everybody shithouses and whatever he wants.
Absolutely.
Okay. Fine. It's not even a joke. He's just behaving as we want the chairman of Accrington Stanley to behave.
It was backed up, wasn't it, by the guy getting a 4-match ban?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if he'd have been cleared of all charges, maybe he'd have a climb down to do, but I don't know.
Okay, so perhaps we need more of this.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
More chairmen who essentially don't care. I don't know. Do we need that?
Maybe this is.
I think we had enough of them in the first half, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this could be Mashiri's newest land grab, trying to curry favour with supporters by insulting opposition players.
Do you think that's what we need, Alicia Usmanov on Twitter?
No, ooh. I don't think that. But if you want to join Twitter and you're listening, Mr. Usmanov, please do. If you haven't had enough Andy Brassel in your ears for one day, well, good news.
That's a great trailer.
It is on the continent day. Head over to Football Ramble Presents for a brand new episode. Lars Sivertsson joins Dotton and Andy to discuss all of the latest on Dusan. Oh, God, not this. Oh, no, you can actually talk about it because it is real. Whereas when we were talking about it in the Premier League, it's not real at all. Dusan Vlahovic's future, why so many of the world's best players are on short-term contracts, and share the story of how a newly promoted team in Belgium's top flight are on course to win the title. Sounds great, Brass.
Oh, it will be. It will be.
Cool.
And I am stroking a cat as I'm saying that.
Yeah, as we know, pets are allowed in the Football Ramble studio. On tomorrow's show, it will be Marcus, Pete and Luke. It's Friday tomorrow, is it not?
It is.
Crikey.
Game time.
Fans of Luke's game will notice that you no longer know what the matchup is going to be. Are we talking Luke v Marcus? Are we talking Pete v Marcus?
Even we don't know.
We can't speculate. Well, I hope you enjoy that one, guys. We certainly will be. Nice to see you, Jim.
You too.
Nice to see you, Andy Brass.
Likewise.
Glad you can finally finish sending that text now. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I'm
got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.